And now the third component of expressing what's alive in us, needs. Feelings can be used in a destructive way if we try to imply that other people's behavior is the cause of our feelings. The cause of our feelings is our needs, not other people's behavior. What I ask you to write down that the other person did, that's a stimulus for our feelings. It's not the cause of our feelings. I'm sure most of us knew this at one time. When I was 6 years old in my neighborhood, we used to say this when somebody would call us a name. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. We were aware then that it's not what other people do that can hurt you, it's how you take it. But we were educated in guilt-inducing ways by authorities, teachers, parents, who wanted to use guilt to mobilize us to do what they wanted. So they would express feelings this way.
It hurts me when you don't clean up your room.
You make me angry when you hit your brother.
So we've been educated by people who tried to make us feel responsible for their feelings, so we will feel guilty. So feelings are important, but we don't want to use them in that way. We don't want to use them in a guilt-inducing manner. So it's very important that when we do express our feelings, we follow our feelings with a statement that makes it clear that the cause of our feelings is our needs. So let's see if we are using needs in the same way. So here's what I would like you to write down. In relationship to what the other person has done and how you feel about it, now identify what needs are creating your feelings. And write it this way. I feel as I do because I am needing. And now put to words that need of yours that isn't getting met by the other person's behavior. Now, just as it's difficult for many people to develop a literacy of feelings, it's also very difficult for them to develop a literacy of needs. Many people, in fact, have associations with needs as something very negative. They associate needs with being needy, dependent, selfish. And again, I think that comes from our history of wanting to be educating people to fit well into domination structures so that they are obedient and submissive to authority. See, people do not make good slaves when they're in touch with their needs. I went to schools for 21 years. I can't recall ever being asked what my needs were. See, my education didn't focus on helping me be more alive, more in touch with myself and others. It was oriented toward rewarding me for getting right answers as defined by authorities. So, now let's look at the words that you are using to describe your needs. The main thing we have to look at is to make sure we don't get needs mixed up with what we're going to talk about next. Next, we're going to talk about requests, what we would like people to do to make life more wonderful for us. The difference between these two is that requests contain reference to specific actions we would like specific people to take. Needs do not contain any reference to specific people taking specific actions. Needs are universal. All human beings have the same needs. So in a workshop that I was doing recently, I asked this woman who was upset with her daughter, the way the daughter was not cleaning up the room, I said, what needs do you have in this situation that aren't getting met? She said, well, it's obvious. I need her to clean up the room. No, I said, that's going to come next. That's a request. I'm asking, what needs do you have? And she couldn't come up with it. She didn't know how to look inside and see what her needs were. Again, she had a language for diagnosing what was wrong with the daughter, that the daughter was lazy. She could tell what she wanted the daughter to do, but she didn't know how to identify her needs. And this is unfortunate because it's when people see our needs that it stimulates people's enjoyment giving, because we all can identify with needs. We all have the same needs. So when we can connect at the need level conflicts which seem unsolvable, it's amazing how they start to become solvable when we see each other's humanness at the need level. I do a lot of work with people in conflict, husbands and wives, parents and children, tribes of people. Many of these people think they have conflicts which can't be resolved. And it's been amazing to me over the years that I've been doing conflict resolution and mediation work. What happens when you can get people over their diagnoses of each other, getting connected at the need level to what's going on in each other, how conflicts which seem impossible to resolve seems like they almost solve themselves when the people can get to this level. So now we have answered the three pieces of information that are necessary to say what's alive in us. What we're observing, what we're feeling, and the needs of ours that are connected to our feelings.